Once upon a time, we were all the same, little children, innocent, naive, and dependent on others for life. At some point, we all began to make choices, some good, some bad. We grow up, we come to church, and we sit here today, the culmination of a series of choices made over the journey of our lives. Church, we believe that the choices you've made matter. We believe that no man or woman can run away from their choices. We own them. But we also believe that God can redeem the whole of our lives, choices and all. We believe in a God who can turn resentment into forgiveness. We believe in a God who can take anger and make it into something righteous, even world-changing. This church believes in a God who can turn despair into joy, who can turn pride into humility, addiction into self-control, insecurity into identity, criticism into sympathy. And we believe in a God who every day that we live continues to turn death into life. That is the complete power of redemption, and we believe in it completely. And if you think your life is beyond redemption, then we simply ask for one thing: the ongoing opportunity to prove you wrong.
Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, for us to come together as a family, Lord, for us to come together to declare the name of Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who created us, Father, for a purpose, and he has a will for each one of us, Father. Father, if there are those today here that are suffering, Lord, or going through a trial or going through a tough time, help us to love on them, Father. Father, we pray that your spirit moves inside their heart, Father. We pray that, and we know we can't do nothing without you, Father. So I pray that you invade this place right now. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move upon our hearts, Father, as we get to the opportunity, the blessing, to be able to look into your word, Father, that we can become like-minded, Father, ready and prepared to do what you want us to do, Father. Your word tells us don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then we'll be able to test and approve what your will is, your good, pleasing, and perfect will, Father. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for this opportunity that we get to come here free today. Free to worship you, free to love you, free to declare our honor and praise for you, Father. And I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all so much. Today, if you can see from the title of from your listening guide, the question is, who owns the church? So I get to talk about the church today. I love the church. This is my home away from home, even though it is my home, if that makes sense to you. I love coming here every day. There hasn't been a day in it'll be 11 years, February 1st, at 9 a.m. that I showed up here. The blessing just to be a part of this congregation, it's hard to put it in words. I guess if I could say it like Peter said, it's joy inexpressible, full of glory to be able to do that. When you sometimes hear people discussing a church or talking about a church, sometimes it could be like someone's private enterprise. Just like they would refer to Randy's pre-owned clothing place, clothing outlet. It could be Crazy Eddie's bank and trust. And some people naturally refer to a church by the name of its minister. Thus, a church in which the pastor, whose name is the Right Reverend Al Chalmers, he might be the senior pastor. He might be known as Chalmers Church. Now, there may be a good reason for that name. Perhaps maybe Chalmers is the captain of the church. Maybe the church is his ship. Maybe so it might be called Chalmers Church. But when you read the New Testament and you look into the Word of God, really many of the biblical descriptions of the church impress upon us that we're not our own, that it's not about us, nor do we belong to any preacher. and you're listening, God, I put the church is rather the body of Christ, the temple of God. The church is the bride of Christ. We're God's people. We get to come here to proclaim his praises to one another. Out of the whole human race, and you think, what is the 6.5 billion people in the world? Out of the whole human race, Christ gathers for himself a community of believers. And the word church reflects that. If you think the German, they call it Kirch, or the Dutch, they call it Kirk. It derives from a Greek word that means belonging to the Lord. So I came here today to tell you that the church belongs to the Lord of the church. And what follows from that is this: the institutional church is not a club. It's not a club to be rigged or outfitted merely to suit ourselves or to meet our own religious needs. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth this: now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. When you walk into this church, we consider you members of our fellowship. And to be a voting member here, we bring you through what we would call discipleship series. We call it core here. And there's been several people who have come up to me the last couple months. Hey, we really love this church. We want to become a voting member of this church. Well, the first two Wednesdays in December, you'll get word out that we'll meet together from 6:30 to 8:30 for two Wednesdays so we can go through core with you, so we can bring the Word of God to you, so that we can prepare you to do what God has created you to do. He's given each one of us gifts. He's given each one of us passions. And as we grow in our relationship with God, we want to please Him, and we want to make a difference for Him. So help us do that for you. And you're listening, God, I put a church. The church is a living, passionate instrument of Jesus Christ, equipped to do his work in the world and set up to serve not only ourselves, but those outside our gathering. So if you look at those three key words in there, we're equipped. We're supposed to equip you. We're supposed to allow you to grow in your relationship with God. And then we take those things that we learn here in this building, outside of this building, and make a difference for him. And that's what this series of messages is about. Every time we have a Sunday school class here, or a community group, or a Wednesday night morning, or Wednesday night, it's to equip you. Because some people might ask, why are you always doing these Bible studies? Why are you finding these things to do here? Because we've been commissioned to equip you with the Word of God. We're here, we're called, we're given gifts to take the things of God and make them known for you. And all you have to do is show up. All you have to do is choose. All you have to do is die to yourself or surrender your life to Christ and allow him to make a difference for you. And this is what this whole series of messages is about: us becoming an outward-focused church so that we can make a difference for him. I have an encouraging verse I want to read for you today. And I want you to realize that this verse is written for every one of us in here today. And it's from 1 Peter 2:9. It says, but you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. And why does he do all that? Why does he call us to do that? And the verse says it, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So if you would look at that verse on your listening, God, and there's three times the word "use" in there. If you crossed out "you" and wrote your name in there, it would say this: but Keith, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that Keith may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called Keith out of the darkness into his marvelous light. So that verse is written for us. That's what that's for. And we live in a world today, when you watch the news or you look at the media, they want to portray Christians as this: judgmental. They'll call us bigoted. They'll call us two-faced. They'll call us hypocrites. They'll say we don't care about anybody but ourselves. We think we're better than anybody else. But I came here today to encourage you to say, stop allowing the world to tell you who you are. Because if you're here and you've asked Christ to forgive you of your sins and you've become one of his children, you're a child of God here today. You're declared in his word a saint. You are being sanctified. You are secure in your relationship with him. You are holy. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. And that's who you are. So there are many that really are not acting like we should act because we don't remember who we are. And remember from last week's message that I declared this message to a clueless generation that we have an inheritance with Christ. That we can wake up every day knowing that we have this inheritance, that we're going to spend eternity with him. We don't form ourselves into a church by a voluntary cooperation. In your listening, God, I put this as so important. We are rather called as a people to praise God. We are rather called as a people to serve his children. We are rather called to sacrifice ourselves for others, even as a church, in the same way that Christ sanctified himself for us. He sacrificed himself for us. Now, when you go to the book of Ephesians and you look in chapter 5, really, Paul there, he starts talking about how a husband should love his wife, but at the same time, he mirrors the relationship between God and his church. Let's look at these 8 verses together. It says, husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her. And sanctify, it's a great word. It means set apart. When you're being sanctified, you're being set apart to be used for God in his purposes. So it says that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her. And how does he do that? By the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she would be holy and blameless. Then Paul goes on and says, so husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined together with his wife, so that the two will become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. So when you look at these 8 verses and you study them and you meditate on them, you realize that Jesus loves the church. He gave himself up for the church. He sanctifies the church. He nourishes the church. And when you look at the subtitle of today's message, it says the real owner, who is Christ, wants to do something with the church. So in order for him to do something through us, do something with us, we have to do 3 things. And that's 3 things I want to share with you. Number 1, we have to understand how important it is that we gather together in his church. In order for us to be the kind of Christians that God wants us to be, we need dynamic fellowship. We need dynamic motivation. We need dynamic worship. We need dynamic inspiration. And as we seek to listen to the Holy Spirit, he's telling us and showing us. And so not only do we need all this, we should be willing to come. We should be willing to serve. We should be willing to give as we seek to further his kingdom here. This church is just not about you, and it's not about me. It's about being a part of God's plan, being a part of God's purposes for his church here at Community Christian Fellowship. Now, I've asked some girls to come forward here to read a couple verses about how important the Bible talks about gathering here. And first, I'd like to introduce you to Miss Exodus. Miss Exodus is going to come up here and read a verse. And you can use this mic over here, or this mic, or right here. This is Miss Exodus. She'd like to share a verse with you today.
Exodus 31:12-13, the sign of the Sabbath. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you."
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Let's hear it. Beautiful. These teenagers are on fire here for God. Now we'd like to hear from Miss Isaiah, who has a couple verses to share. One time it was windy outside, and I actually saw her fall over. And sorry about that.
Isaiah 58:13-14, keeping the Sabbath. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, deciding it from your own ways, from keeping your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Beautiful. Thank you. Girls are beautiful. And then we have one more. Is there a Miss Ezekiel in the house? Oh, here she is, right here. Praise God. Go ahead.
Ezekiel 20:20. Sanctify my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God.
My beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Catherine. It's beautiful. So if we want to, as a church family, if we choose to, if we desire to, if we have a passion to show up and be a part of His church, the next thing we need to do, because showing up is so important, but the next thing we need to do, and number two, is to grow. It's so important that we grow. Peter, the last thing Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And how do you grow? You grow through studying the Word and applying the Word. And we offer times here during the week where you can grow. I mean, we're commissioned to do that. We're called to do that. We've been sent here as leaders to provide opportunities for you to grow. And we do it through community groups. We do it through Wednesday morning, Wednesday night. The guys meet here on Saturday. I mean, it's exciting. We grow by getting into the Word. We grow by fellowshipping. We grow by serving. We grow by reaching out and sacrificing and giving. And next, for us as Christians, for us as a church family, God tells us to go. And that's number three. Go wherever He leads you. And Jesus told, Matthew wrote in there, so go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out to the streets and gathered all the people he could find, as bad as well as good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. So I came here today to tell you that the church belongs to God. It belongs to the Lord of the church. And we see from His Word that we have to go and share His gospel. So that brings us to the next question, which is, what do we need to arm ourselves with when we go out to hear and invite? What does it look like for a believer to be ready to be ready to make a difference for him and his generation to go out and invite? And we find these in Philippians 2:1-5. He says this, therefore, if you have any encouragement, and I pray for encouragement every day for each one of you, that you would be united in Christ. If there's any comfort, it comes from His love. If there's any common sharing, the Bible says, in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then he goes on in verse 2 and says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one and in spirit, in one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. That's what Christianity is all about. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So in your relationships with one another, having the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So if we want to be a church that's set upon pleasing God, if we want to be a church who's passionate about making a difference, about growing and going and gathering and doing those things, we have to have encouragement. And that comes from being united with Christ. We have to have comfort, which comes from His love. We have to be sharing in the Spirit. We have to have tenderness and compassion. And when we come together and we're united as a church family, you look at the rest of those verses, we have to be like-minded. We have to be on the same page. We have to have the same love. We have to be of one mind, one spirit and mind. We can't do anything with selfish ambition. It can't be about us. It has to be about Him. We have to have humility so we can value others above ourselves. Each of us should be looking out for the interests of others. When you're in your schools and you're walking down the hallways and you just want to make a difference for Him, look out for the interests of others. Make a difference for Him in your school or in your job. I read once a church that has turned in on itself is like a person who shuts herself in a closet and tries to live by breathing her own carbon dioxide. It doesn't work. We have to get to a point as a church that we surrender ourselves to Him. We have to give over the control that we think we have to Him. We have to realize that it's not about us, but about Him. We are His people and His children and His representatives. Thank you for doing that song today, How Great Thou Art. That brings up so much memories about myself and my wife, because that was one song they always sang when we went up to her house, you know, out in the boondocks where Kathy grew up, where there was nothing, I don't think, man. She never went to a mall in her life till she met me. And I took her to Tyson's Corner. Wow. She was in love with me after that. But praise God. Oh, my gosh. But I remember, you know, when we got saved in 81 at the Assembly of God Church, and one day, you know, they asked Kathy, would you sing a song? And she sang, well, I'll sing this for my grandmother, How Great Thou Art. It was beautiful. That was her song, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Her grandpap was How Great Thou Art, and her grandma's was Peace in the Valley. But she sang that day in the church, and I'll never forget it. I mean, it's been, gosh, how many years ago? 30-some years ago. Yeah, we're getting younger every day. But she sang that song, and I truly believe till this day, that's the day the Holy Spirit came inside of my wife and just sang that song. And how many times did she probably sang that song before? But that day, it meant something to her. And I pray that every time when Amber's leading the team here to sing, that the lyrics and the music will mean something to you, that will get a hold of you and get inside your heart to realize how much God loves you, to realize that you're a people, that you're a holy nation, that you're God's own possession. When I think about the churches, I think about it, it's like a hospital. It's where people who are sick can come, maybe broken, maybe bruised, maybe beaten, maybe lost, maybe battered by the life trials and tribulations that come in our lives. And it's okay if you're here today and you don't have it all together, man. We're glad you're here today. We want you to be a part of our family because we want nothing else but for our family to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's our goal here to love you. It's our goal here to help you get connected and allow the Holy Spirit to pour the things of God into you here at this church community Christian fellowship. We're bent on having God show up at this place every day. When the school's here, or whether we're here as a church, that the Holy Spirit will show up here and move through our hearts, where He'll change our hearts and He'll take the things of God and make it known to us. Paul said in his second letter to the Corinthian church, he said in 6:16, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple, the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And I've shared that verse many times with people who have come to me, many times with teenagers coming. I don't have a dad at home. And it says in those verses, he'll be a father to you. God will come and be a father to you, and he will walk with you, and he will dwell with you, and he will be your God, and you will be part of him. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the temple of God. The church is the bride of Christ. It's God's people. I read this story once. It's called Reading God's Signs. And this was back in 1999. There was a conference in Houston, and the speaker, Marty Enzine, she was a missionary to Africa. And she was told of bringing some pastors who lived their whole life in Africa to the United States for a big meeting, for a big conference. And during their free time, these pastors, they wanted to go shopping. Maybe that's why I brought them all up. I don't know. But even though they were in a small town, Marty knew that there was a chance that someone might have difficulty or get lost. They've never been in America. So she gave them her phone number, and she said, in case of an emergency, call me and I will come and help you. And an hour later, the phone rang. And it was the pastor. He says, I'm lost. And Marty said, lay the phone down. Go to the street corner and find out the names of the two streets at the corner and come back and tell me, and I will get you and come and get you. So in a few minutes later, he returned to the phone and reported, I'm at the corner of walk and don't walk. Sometimes we seek to know how God is leading us, yet we feel we're at the same corner of walk and don't walk. Gosh, I came here today to tell you that God loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you. And he would want nothing else but to just come inside of you and take the things of God and make them known to you. And as you grow in your relationship with God, should you choose to make this your church home, we will do everything we can to get you connected to God. We will do everything we can to bring you the things of God so that you can have them in your heart. Today in Sunday school, those verses came to me in Psalms where it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? And the Bible says, by living according to your word. The writer says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I want this place to be a house of prayer. I've walked many times up and down this aisle just praying for people, asking God to bring people here, asking us to be loving and caring and reaching out and providing them the tools that they need. And this is your number one tool, is this word of God. And the more you get into this word, the more you meditate on it, the more you memorize it, something happens in your life. Something called joy, something called peace, something called love, something called patience. And you learn what it means to forgive. You learn that you realize you're not that good or you're not good enough, but with him, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be witnesses for him. Do you realize that he created everyone sitting here is a witness for him? Everyone here can spend the rest of their life just digging into the word and loving people and snatching people out of the fire like Jude wrote in his book. I want to close with, and I have another video to show you that I feel like that coincided with this message, and it's Hebrews 10:19-25, because I think to myself, how can I give a passage that would really relate the gather part and the grow part and the go part? And that's what we're about here. That's what we as elders got together all last year and prayed and talked about this. We want to be known as a G3 church. We want to be known as a church that realizes how important that we gather together. And that's where fellowship comes in, and we grow together. That's where Bible study comes in, and then we go out and make a difference for Him. And the writer of Hebrews says this. In fact, the subtitle is A New and Living Way. It's a new way, something that you've never done before. It's a way that God wants us to live our lives. And He says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place, and we get to enter that place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil that is His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, which is the church, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. That's the gather part, that we draw near with a sincere heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And then here comes the grow part. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And then the go part comes. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is a habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching near. He's calling this fellowship to be ready and to be prepared to make a difference for Him. He's calling this fellowship for us to get into the Word, where marriages can be strengthened and relationships between parents and kids can grow. And then we can go out here and make a difference for Him. I have another short video. I'd like, Jason, thank you.
At our church, Jesus is Lord. That single belief calls us together as a community and sends us into our world with hope and purpose. At our church, your past will never define your future. There's always redemption, which means there's always a brighter day. At our church, we don't think we're better than any other church out there. We're just doing our best to become our best. At our church, we want you to believe in God, but we also want you to know that God believes in you. We are not against people who don't attend church anywhere. Instead, we pursue them with love, the very same love that's pursuing us. At our church, we're learning to serve God with all our hearts, and we're learning to worship Him with all our lives. And if you're looking for the perfect church, we're not it. At our church, we will make mistakes, but we will choose to grow from them. At our church, we're part of a global community that's knit together by the resurrection of Jesus. And by the way, at our church, we believe that really happened too. At our church, we will engage with people who are in real need, because we are the hands and the feet of Christ. And finally, we need you to hear this loud and clear. At our church, it's not really our church at all. It's His. And we live and move and breathe in His church for His glory and His fame, not ours. So here's the invitation. You're invited to jump in with your whole heart at your own pace and to experience the life that awaits you in Christ. Friends, this is going to be good. Welcome to our church.
I love that video, because it just says it all without a doubt. If the ushers could come forward, please, and the band wants to come up. Praise God. Next Sunday, we are starting a new series at 9:30. If you're willing and choose to, and you can get up an hour earlier and come here at 9:30, we're really excited about building biblical community. We're excited about pouring into you so that we can go outside of here and make a difference for Him. We want this place to be rocking for Christ. We want this place ready and prepared to grab a hold of people and love on them and share the things of God with them. Praise God. ushers come forward. We're going to pray for the offering, and then the band's going to play, and we would want nothing else for people. There's been many people that have come up here and knelt through the years that we get to pray with. There are people that come up here to pray for other people. So we always offer this time up as a time where we can just come and give our needs to the Lord and ask Him to bless us in a mighty way. Father, I ask You to bless this offering today, Lord. Father, I just want to give You the glory for an opportunity to be able to share Your verses. I could read, and I want to read Your verses the rest of my life, Father, because Your verses is what brings us life. Your verses is what brings us purpose. Your verses is what brings us forgiveness and new life so that we can understand what a new creation looks like, Father. We're bent on making new creations here, Father, where the old things will pass away and behold, all things will come new, Father. Teach us what it means to be holy and loving and caring and passionate about You, Father, and ask You to bless this offering today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You all.
Please stand and worship. These altars are open. Please come forward if you'd like to pray.
Oh, the blood, crimson love, price of life's demand, shameful sin placed on Him, the whole as the blood.